For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Well, why don't you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. That's almost at the end of your Bible. And I just want us to take as our point of departure this morning this statement, this invitation, this encouragement by John. This is in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. He says, "This is the confidence that we have when approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if God hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." And so this passage, as I said, is an encouragement to pray. And it's an encouragement to pray in a specific way of praying. You know, in the Bible, God introduces us to many ways to talk to Him, and including prayer of worship, in which we marvel over who God is and give Him the praise of our soul for who God is and how wonderful He is. Or thanksgiving, in which we take note of the ways in which God has shown us His love and goodness and express our gratitude. There is what the Bible calls prayer of supplication. And as nearly as I can tell, that refers to simply pouring out our hearts before God, unburdening our souls in His loving and caring presence. And then there is what is sometimes called petitionary prayer. And that's what this is about. Request prayer. Prayer that has to do with asking God for things, asking God to do something related to us. And request prayer can and normally is about requests for ourselves. But then the Bible also speaks of intercessory prayer, where we are praying, requesting to God on behalf of other people. That's what John is talking about here, clearly. And when he says that if we ask anything according to God's will, we should be confident that He hears us, he doesn't mean by that that God, you know, His hearing is not bad. It means hearing in the sense of hearing and paying heed to. And he says, and since we can be confident that He pays heed to requests that are according to His will, we can be confident that He'll grant those requests. Now, this is one of hundreds of passages strewn throughout the Bible that emphasize the efficacy, that is, the practical usefulness, if I can be so crass, of petitionary prayer, and that urge upon us the importance of developing rich request prayer lives. If you were here last week, I think Tom taught about Moses and the burning bush in Exodus 3. And you may remember that God begins that conversation with Moses by saying, "I have heard my people's cries to me as they suffer under bondage to Pharaoh. And I am now going to answer their cries." That's an example of God granting request prayers. There are many assertions in the Bible that this kind of prayer is important and that God does answer request prayer. James says many times, "You do not have simply because you do not ask God." And he goes on to say that the prayer of someone who is rightly related to God can accomplish much. There are many, many passages that command us / invite us to pray in this way. So Paul says in Ephesians 6, with this in view, at all times pray with all petition and praying on behalf of others. And then we have dozens of passages like this one, which contain staggering promises of answered prayer. And when John makes this statement, he's merely echoing what Jesus said over and over again to his disciples on the final night that he was with them, as he shared with them his final instructions before he went to the cross. Six times in those final instructions in John 14 through 16, he says, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. And so this kind of prayer, praying to God and making requests of God, is to be the ground floor of living the Christian life and of serving God. And it's God's will for all of us who know Christ to grow stronger and more effective in praying specific requests to God and seeing God answer those requests. Now, I don't need to tell you, who can think about prayer, let alone teach about prayer, without feeling guilty? Who in this room would dare to raise their hand and say, I am absolutely satisfied with my prayer life? You have no idea what it is like to say, I'm going to teach a teaching on this. And I'd be the first to admit that I'm no prayer ninja master. I tell you what, there are people in this room who are more advanced in this art than I am. And I hope that we'll hear from some of them before the end of today. And there's a lot of mystery in this area. But what I find is that for most of us, and I include myself for large portions of my Christian life, most of us are very weak here simply because we pray a lot of requests and most of them don't get answered. And nothing motivates advancing in request prayer like answered prayer. The more God answers your prayer, the more motivated you are to ask from Him, and the more bold you become in prayer. Conversely, when very few of your requests are answered, you become easily discouraged, and most of us kind of fritter off into occasional, vague, God, do your will here, prayers. And I hope that today and in the coming weeks, God will turn this around in my life and in many of your lives, because He wants us to be a church of abundant prayer, where we're waxing strong in this kind of prayer. Now, it's obvious that John says there's one crucial condition. He says that if we ask anything that is according to God's will, He hears us. And so I presume that he was reminding his audience of this condition, because they had been under his teaching and personal example for many decades. What I want to try to do this morning is to make that phrase, asking according to God's will, a little bit more practical for each of us. What does it mean to ask according to God's will? What is involved in asking from God according to His will? What would that look like? And I want to assure you that I'm not going to give you, let alone try to sell you, some mechanical prescription that you can use like a genie, because prayer is personal, and when each individual soul's communion with God is personal, it can't be made into a recipe, and there is a mysterious element to this as God teaches us how to pray according to His will. But having said that, I think we can get a practical framework from the Bible on this. So here's what I want to lay on you. Here's what I'm going to develop briefly this morning and just introduce you to this subject. Here's another one of my really fancy diagrams. I want to argue from the Bible that asking according to God's will, praying request prayers that get answered, involves three different elements. And these elements are interrelated. They're not airtight categories. And they dynamically relate to each other. And they are first an attitude, a heart attitude of entrusting ourselves to God's loving authority. And then there is a focus of our prayers being on what God prioritizes. And then there is this mysterious personal element of listening to God's Spirit as He teaches us and leads us in prayer. So what I want to do is just kind of sketch in those three elements a little bit this morning, and I want you to be listening as I do so to which one of these God is kind of arrests your attention on, because usually we find that there's one area. God works with us as we're able and as He knows what we need. So listen for what God seems to be scratching at you at on this. Okay, first of all, asking according to God's will involves an attitude of the heart. And I had the hardest time coming up with a way even to put this attitude into words. I first thought I'd call it submitting to God's authority. I thought, no, I'll lose people before I even start. So maybe I just did. You know, that S word. And so I'm calling this attitude entrusting yourself to God's loving authority. And what I mean by this is that praying according to God's will involves a choice on my part to humbly subject myself to God as my leader. This attitude involves choosing to trust that because God is good, His will is good. And it involves choosing to align my heart to follow His will. Let me say that again. This attitude involves humbly subjecting myself to God as my leader. Choosing to trust that God's will is good. And aligning my heart and my will to follow what God says. That's what I'm talking about. Here's what John Stott says in this area. He's just a wonderful, godly Bible teacher from England that a lot of us have benefited from. He says, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will on God or for bending God's will to ours. But prayer is the prescribed way of subordinating our will to His. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer, then, is a variation on the theme, "Your will be done." And you may remember that in the so-called Lord's Prayer, which we're going to look at next week, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your will be done." And then He modeled this attitude when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and agonizing over the prospect of being crucified. He said, "Not my will, but Your will be done." And so this is a heart attitude. And it's an attitude that we must choose because it does not come naturally to us at all. Ever since human beings revolted against God, deep within every human heart, and if you follow God, you see this more and more clearly in your own heart. Deep within every fallen heart is the suspicion that God is not good. is the not only the desire to run our own lives, but the belief that we can. We know best how to run our own lives. And even the desire to use God to advance our agenda for our lives. That's dark. And it's right in here for me. And you know, when it comes to request prayer, in many religions, including the Christian religion, and I'm using that in a negative sense, request prayer is little more than attempting to rub the bottle in such a way that God, as the genie, appears to grant my wishes and to make my wishes into his commands. And that's a whole subject in itself. I think about the way that I prayed when I prayed before I met Christ. It was usually, God, make this girl fall in love with me. Make this person do that. You know, and it was all about trying through prayer to impose my will on God, to get God to become my servant to fulfill my agenda. And so that's the hard attitude that is the default setting for all of us. And that's why the Bible emphasizes that this is an attitude that we have to choose consciously. You know, another term that the Bible uses for this attitude is repentance. Because repentance just means to change your mind, to change your posture toward God. And, you know, in my life, and I think in maybe in many of your lives, the first time that I ever prayed a prayer with this attitude is when I received Christ. And, you know, a lot of people talk about what a joyous experience it was to receive Christ. But I have to tell you that on the night that I received Christ, there was a lot of pain for me in doing that. I remember very clearly the pain in my soul that I felt to bow to God. It hurt to admit to him, I have lived as a fugitive from you. I have lived in rebellion against you. I have lived determined to run my own life, and I admit it doesn't work. It hurt to say, forgive me for living my life with this posture toward you. Come into my life now and lead me, lead my life. It may be for you here this morning that this is the prayer that God is calling on you to make in the first and foundational sense, to bow before him and to agree to him about having lived with this posture toward him, and to ask him to forgive you through Christ, and to ask him to come into your heart and begin to take leadership of your life. I will tell you that even though that may be very painful for you to pray, as it was for me, that it will lead very quickly to joy. And as I look back in my life to 36 years ago this coming May, the memory of praying that painful prayer is still vivid in me because the ripple effect for good in my life, and by God's grace through my life to many others, is just staggering. Now, I don't need to tell you, if you've already received Christ, that this attitude doesn't become automatic. And I think that many times for many of us, our prayer lives in this area go up on blocks because we're not choosing this attitude as we come before God. I find that I often have to wrestle with myself in this area when I am wanting to go to God in prayer, and especially when I want to ask God requests. And I find that it's remarkable how subtle my own fallen nature is in this area. I often catch myself praying for things that I know are good and right for entirely wrong, egotistical reasons. I don't even hardly ever admit that when I'm praying. It wouldn't be right. You know, I don't know how many times I've prayed, Lord, empower me through your Spirit to give a great teaching so that people will really think I'm something else. I mean, I don't even say that to God, of course. But, you know, I discover it in my heart. And what can you do when you discover that other than say, God, thank you for your grace, and just crucify this gross thing? I have prayed right things for loved ones in my family, right things. Prayed for their repentance, primarily so that I would be spared humiliation and pain. Not because so that they could come to clear deep convictions for God. And so this is just something that I want to remind you that will be an ongoing battle as you grow in Christ. And so these are just a few questions that have been helpful to me, and I'll put them out there and move on. One is, do you regularly present yourself to God as his servant? And all I mean by that is what the Bible talks about is presenting ourselves to God, where we just say often and hopefully throughout the day, Lord, here I am, and I'm at your disposal. I'm at your disposal. I come to do your will. Not as a chant, not as a ritualized mantra, but from the heart. When you ask God for guidance, and I suspect that a lot of what we ask God for is direction, which is a good thing. But when you ask God for guidance, do you also tell him that by his grace you'll obey his guidance even before you know what it is? Or do you find, like me, that you're often relating to God as a consultant rather than the Lord? I'd like to get your opinion on this before I make my own decision. And, you know, truly, I believe that God often withholds guidance that he wants to give us because the attitude with which we're asking for guidance is, I'm the boss, you're the consultant. And so it's important for me to wrestle on this point and to say, God, before I know what your will is, I'm committed to go down that direction. Now tell me, please, what is your will? And when you really, really, really want something, or when you really, really, really don't want something, which is what motivates a lot of our prayers, do you consciously, as you pour your heart out about those requests, do you consciously say to the Lord, but you know what? I trust you on this. And I trust that you give what is good to your servants. And so I accept in advance your response to this. So, asking according to God's will involves entrusting ourselves to his loving authority. Now, I want to talk about the second element, which has to do more with what we pray for. The first element has to do with the heart attitude with which we ask. This has more to do with what we ask God for. And you know, Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. So this is a similar promise of answered prayer, elaborating on the condition that we ask according to his will. And he says, it's as you abide in me, that means that your abode is where you hang out, as you habitually adopt a dependent, submissive posture toward me, And as my words make their home in your heart and mind, then he says, ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. And so this means more just than that we pray biblical prayers. It certainly means that, because God's will is revealed to us in large part, not totally, but in large part. And the massive framework of God's will is revealed to us in the Bible. But what I'm focusing on here especially is the fact that in the Bible we not only find specific statements of God's will or promises, etc., but that as we read the Bible, as we read all through the Bible, as we read the Bible over and over again, we become acquainted with God's priorities. God is not just some frantic secretary who's got a lot of conflicted specific desires that we have to try to figure out how to tap into. God has a purpose. God has a plan that he is accomplishing. And that purpose is to reestablish his loving rulership over humanity and to redeem a broken humanity through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the strategy that God is working according to. And then befitting that strategy, there are tactical priorities that God urges upon us as his servants. And it's important not only that we learn what God's priorities are, but that we focus our prayer requests in accordance with what God prioritizes. This is very simple on one level, folks, because again, if you don't learn what God's priorities are, by default, you and I will pray according to our priorities. Right? And what are my usual priorities when left to myself? God, give me more pleasant circumstances over here. God, make that person treat me more the way that I want to be treated. God, take away, deliver me from this irritating, painful circumstance. God, eliminate, God, move away this irritating person. I mean, that's just our default priorities as fallen people. And so we pray along those lines, those priorities, and we find that very few of them are answered, not because God's some sort of cosmic sadist, but because they aren't his priorities and they aren't even good for us. As I go on, I become increasingly humbled and grateful by all the times God said no to my requests. Now, on the other hand, if we pray more and more according to God's priorities, we will find God answering our requests more and more, and this will embolden and strengthen us in our request praying. I just want to give you a few examples. And these are all through every one of these six examples, so don't try to take them all in. You can get the paper copy of this afterwards if you want. But these are all through the Bible that I'm kind of distilling. God, give me more insight into your word so that I can become more godly in character. That's an emphasis in Scripture. God, help me to understand all that you have given to me in Christ. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 3, help me to understand better and more deeply how much you love me. We talked about this a few weeks ago. So that I can mature spiritually in you. Open my eyes afresh and in a deeper way to what you've given me. God, give me truly your heart of love for other people, which I do not have in myself. And God, give me the discernment and wisdom to know how to express your love in this concrete situation. That's a huge prayer emphasis in Scripture. God, give me opportunities to represent you, to share your good news about Jesus to people who don't know him. And give me the courage that I don't have, and give me the wisdom that I need to make the most of those opportunities. That's a big emphasis in the New Testament. God, expose any sinful attitudes that are hurting me and hurting other people and dishonoring your reputation, because I am your servant, your representative. This is all through Scripture. You find it especially expressed in Psalm 139, where he says, God, search me and know my heart and see if there be any hurtful way within me, and then lead me. And then this prayer: God, help me to understand what you're trying to teach me through this difficult situation. It's grounded in the belief that God is both sovereign and good, that his hand is on my life. My life is not out of control. And that you've allowed this difficult situation to come into my life, you say, to teach me and to fashion me into one who represents you and better and who knows you more deeply. Open my eyes to see what you're trying to teach me. Now, these are just a few of the priorities that we find in Scripture. In fact, most every one of these you can find actual prayers in the Bible that express this. And the point that I'm making is that, you know, even to take these six priorities and to begin to consciously start praying personally and specifically along these lines will make a tremendous difference in the efficacy of your prayer life. And let me just add that you should also commit yourself to begin to pray for others along these same lines. In fact, a lot of these, the examples of these in the Bible are of people praying for others along these lines. A couple of comments, and then I want to move on to our last point. This is why I find that it's very helpful to combine my own private prayer with a time of also reading Scripture. And let me just explain briefly what I mean. I believe in taking a time each day to be alone with God. And when you do that and how you do it, it's up to you. But I personally have come to the conviction that it is an utter act of folly for me. For me personally, I'm speaking, to think that I can be effective for God during the day if I don't do that in the morning. That's me. Some of you are night people. That's cool. It'll take overnight. But what I'm emphasizing here is to get into a habit of using that time when you're reading the Bible, and I'm calling it whole Bible reading. I don't mean read the whole Bible and then pray. But read, like many of us are using Donald Carson's For the Love of God, which is simply a Bible reading program that gets you through. If you read two chapters a day, you get through the whole Bible in 2 years. And by then, I assure you, you can start over again, and a lot of it will still be new to you. But see, the value of this is that you're going to learn and be reminded of God's priorities as they come at you through whole Bible reading over a period of time. And let that be part of what you do when you spend time alone talking to God and making requests of him. Another practical piece of advice that I'd give along these lines is that you may want to take whole Bible passages. For most of us, that they'll have to be short. And turn those into passages that you pray back to God for specific situations. There's a situation in my life right now, each week, that is, it's a very specific situation in which I need to live as a representative of Jesus in great darkness. And what has been helpful for me as I go to that place at that time every week is to actually pray this passage back to God on behalf of myself. And I say, Lord, I'm going in here as your representative. Please give me, open a door for me to in some way share about the love of Jesus. Give me the eyes to see those opportunities. God, give me the wisdom to conduct myself properly in this setting. And if that means shutting up, then help me to have the wisdom to be quiet. If it means showing someone an act of kindness, then give me the wisdom to see how to do that, so that I can make the most of this opportunity to represent you well. And Lord, give me the ability to speak graciously to these people, to bless them, to speak to them words of genuine kindness and goodness, because that's the way that you feel toward them. That has been so helpful for me in many ways, just to walk through that passage and turn it into a prayer request before going into that situation. And so I recommend something along those lines. Next week, we're going to look at what's wrongly known as the Lord's Prayer. And I think that there are ways to use that prayer like this that can be life-changing for you. Now, let's take the last few minutes and talk about this third element involved in praying according to God's will. That is, that as we talk to God and as we make requests of God, we are to do so listening to God's Spirit. And there is a real sense in which request prayer to God is more the response of first hearing what God has led you to pray for and then praying. Now, I know this is subjective. And I know that it can be and has been abused. You know, I've had people tell me, well, the Lord's just been really leading me to pray for a different spouse. And I've heard a lot more bizarre things than that. And so, of course, this part of praying according to God's will has to be interrelated to praying, entrusting my attitude to His authority, and praying along His priorities and within His moral will. But having said that, Paul and Jude both speak of the importance of praying in the Spirit. And you'll find that phrase in Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit, Paul says. And Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God, praying in the Spirit. And then we have this passage, a wonderful passage in Romans 8, where Paul says, we don't even know what we should pray for. How glad I am that the Apostle Paul said, not you don't even know what you should pray for. We don't know. Nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And so he is saying that in some mysterious and personal and yet real way, God's Spirit helps us to pray according to God's will. As we come to him with submitted hearts, as we come to him requesting along the lines of his priorities, there's the promise that his Spirit will help us to know how to pray specifically for His will in many of the situations that we face. Now, I want to say just a few words about this, and that may be helpful for you. The first thing that I want to say about this, then, is obvious. It means, if what Paul is saying is true in Romans 8, that we don't know how to pray and what to pray for, it means not in a perfunctory, impersonal, ritualistic way, but from the heart, when I come before God, I want to say to Him, Lord, I don't know how to pray for this. And I want to pray according to Your will. Please help me. Please lead me to pray for this matter according to Your will. Now that's simple, but I think something that I often neglect or forget. I think that as you are praying, not just while you're praying, but as you survey and reflect upon your request prayers over a period of time, sometimes I notice that a request is coming up over and over again. Now, sometimes, just because this is something that bothers me so bad, it's emanating from me, it bothers me so bad, I want it so much that I want to talk about it all the time. But there are times, there have been many times in my Christian life when I have found God putting on my heart the desire to pray for something that I really had not anticipated. And I know this is subjective, so all that I can do is tell you about my experience and leave it at that. But I have seen that recurrently. And one thing I've learned is that when that happens, that I want to give special attention to whatever it is, whatever that request is, and to really pray a lot about that and to pray much for God's guidance for His will in that area. And I have found in my own life that this sort of thing is often God leading. God is about to do something, and He's giving me the great privilege of letting me know what He's about to do by putting on my heart the urgency to pray for that matter. And so we find then that we pray much for that matter, and then it unfolds. I had a fascinating example of this that I'll share briefly with you a couple of weeks ago. My home group is about ready to become two home groups. And so the side that I'm going to be on, we don't have a place to meet. And the group is large enough that it wouldn't fit into any of the houses that we have. And so we began to pray for God to provide us with a place to meet. And I've seen God be so faithful to that down through the years. A couple of weeks ago, a few of us a few of us on our side of the home group were praying about this matter. And someone in that prayer said, Lord, maybe You want to give us X place to meet. And there's just something about that. I don't know how to describe it, and I'm not going to try to, because it's subjective. But I noticed how, as we prayed on, we kept circling back around to that thing. And I found that as I began to pray about that specifically, that I just felt like God was putting that on my heart more and more. Well, finally, a few days later, I and another brother went down to that place, and we'd been there a lot. It's a store. And we went there and we prayed together at a table and said, Lord, we feel like You want us to ask the owner if we can meet here. And so we prayed and we went up and talked, said to the owner, you know, we have this Bible study and it's about ready to divide into two groups. And we're wondering if we could pay to rent your store after hours to meet here. And the owner said, oh yeah, you can meet here for free. And I said, no, you don't understand. And that's literally what I said. You don't understand. And I explained the whole thing, what a commitment it would be, all the hassle it would be, et cetera, and so forth. And the owner said, no, you can meet here for free. And she said, I believe in Jesus, which we did not know, and I have been praying for a way to serve Him. Now, you can say that's all coincidence. But you know, we went back to our table and looked at each other, stunned, and then gave each other this big high five. And it was like, and we almost said simultaneously to each other, did that really happen? And I mean, my faith is so weak that I fretted about it for a whole week and went back last Monday to say, now let's talk this through again. I'm serious. And the owner once again said, no, I have to work here so much that I can't go to church. And I'm so happy that church will be here. So that's an example. But I'm saying that the Lord sometimes puts on our hearts recurrently things that we probably would not have been inclined to pray for. And we should take note of that. The last thing that I want to say along these lines is that this is one of the reasons why it's so important to pray regularly with other Christians. And you notice that that story that I just told you began in the context of corporate prayer. Jesus makes an amazing statement in Matthew 18. He says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about something that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, then there I am with them. And the word agree in the Greek is the word symphoneo. It's the word that we get symphony from. And the implication is that Jesus is our conductor. And that as we come together entrusting ourselves to his authority, committed to pray along his priorities and listening to him attentively, he will symphonize our prayers so that we find ourselves zeroing in on what his will is more specifically and to pray for that, and then he does that. I think there's much for us to learn in this church, in this area. It is subjective. It is liable to abuse. It's also tremendously important. And we need brothers and sisters, especially in our home groups, committed to this kind of prayer so that we become strong in praying for according to the will of God. So, those are the elements that Scripture emphasizes in praying according to God's will. I want to ask you again, which of these does the Lord seem to be getting your attention on this morning? Give note to that and respond to him in that area. Well, there's much to learn here. What we're going to do over the next several weeks is that we're going to actually look at some prayers in the Bible. We're going to read inspired prayers. And we're going to try to learn more what it means to pray according to God's will by looking carefully at several such prayers. We know that there were prayers made according to God's will. What can we learn about those prayers that will help us to pray according to his will? So, Danny, why don't you close us in prayer?
I want to thank you, Lord, for how faithful you've been to each and every one of us. You've been so patient with us, and that you've given us your Son for salvation and your Spirit for fellowship and encouragement. Just thank you for how faithful you've been to us, how faithful you've been to this church, Lord. It's amazing the things that you've done. And I'm really grateful that we're going to begin a series on prayer, because it tells me that we have the opportunity to do so much more for you as we become people who understand prayer and grow in prayer. Lastly, I want to thank you for your patience, Lord. Yeah. The topics that have kind of come up today, you know, prayer, money, reading the Bible regularly, these are things that just about everybody gets defeated in.
Yeah.
And yet you're so gracious. You always pick us up, and you tell us that anything we pray according to your will, that you'll grant it. And so just help us stick with it and keep asking you and keep enjoying you in prayer, Lord. Let it not become a legalistic guilt thing, but let it become a source of joy for us and consequently blessing for others.
Yeah.
Thank you for how patient you are, and thank you that this can be a chance for our church to bless others even more.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted, but you may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.